is from Isaiah chapter 63, verses 7 through 9. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old.
We have a saying at our house. Maybe some of you have heard it. Another day, another dollar. It reflects the humdrum experience of everyday life that comes with routines and ordinary life. This feeling always hits hard the day after Christmas. Another day, another dollar. Many of us return to work, right? We have a whole season of Advent, building the excitement and the anticipation, all those hectic preparations all leading to this climactic moment, Christmas. One day. Well, maybe two if you've added on lots of traditions on Christmas Eve day. The gifts are carefully selected and tenderly wrapped, all ripped apart in seconds, right? In my house, we have Yaya staying with us. He's a Haitian. He's from Haiti, and this was his first Christmas, and we had him open the first Christmas gift. And he started by, like, taking the tape off really careful. And I was like, boy, we have to Americanize you. Because, you know, you just rip open a gift, right? You don't take it apart. But, you know, the cookies that are baked and masterfully decorated are swallowed in three bites. And the needles on the tree starting to dry and fall to the ground already. See, now it's another day, another dollar. Or is it? That started me thinking about what Christmas feels like. On Christmas Day, I heard the comment, it doesn't feel like Christmas. Another person whispered in my ear when we were at my brother's house, having our family gathering, now this feels like Christmas. For some reason, we prefer to normalize life, to create this image of what something is or is not, how it feels or how it should feel and how it doesn't feel. You know, my brother this year decided for Christmas dinner, let's have a taco bar. And all of my family was in an uproar. Taco bar? That's not Christmas. Where's the ham? Where's the, right? That's not Christmas. So even as I began my thoughts for this sermon, I started to write about lights and cookies and presents and family dinners. And I stopped really suddenly, remembering for a moment that all these things are my normal Christmas. For many people, Christmas has none of this. In the past month, I've encountered several families who don't even have a home. Their hope was just to have a warm place to sleep that night. Other people needed assistance to just enjoy a hot meal. They would have been ecstatic for the taco bar. Presents and lights and decorations weren't on their list. Some people were alone, or maybe just hoping for a phone call that day. I am certain that Mary and Joseph did not imagine the birth of their firstborn son to be as it was in a stable in Bethlehem, far away from family and friends. Instead of connecting with our memories and traditions, the feeling of Christmas should be attached to this beautiful truth. The baby's birth that we celebrate arrived as a gift from God to reveal to us the love of God and the love God asks us to share with one another in acts of kindness and mercy and justice. This is love we can touch and see, and here's the big one, become. What is the feeling you get when you hear that truth? Breathtaking, isn't it? Wonder, awe, a love of God that we can see and touch and become. Our text from Isaiah tells us about the gift of Christmas. The baby that arrived Christmas morn is our gift from God, born out of God's love for all creation. This is the Spirit of the Lord that we receive in Christ. Emmanuel, God with us, is doing many good things for us, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He says, "You are my people. I am your Savior. In all your suffering, he suffers too. The angel of presence who saves us. He is the one who has and continues to carry us through all the years. With love and mercy, he redeems and lifts us up." These are the words that Isaiah used to describe the one who would come as Messiah. I encourage you to write this on your hearts. Hold it on the tips of your tongue so you can yell it from the mountaintop or hear its song in your darkest valley. Carry it like wings to lift you and all those who take hold of your toes. With a gift such as this, we live in faith with abounding love, joy, hope, and peace. These are unlike the feeling of Christmas tied to memories and traditions. Love, joy, hope, and peace are not temporary things or even passing feelings. They are an attitude that fills us and remains no matter what we face in life. In Christ, we become a source of love. We become a fountain of joy. We become a beacon of hope. And we become the peace that is beyond all our understanding. As Jesus did in his life, we are called to share it and to become a force of God's grace to transform the world to its original wholeness. Jesus calls to us, "You are my people," he says. "You are my people." What a beautiful invitation to this Christmas celebration. Jesus announces, "I am your Savior. I am your Savior." Emmanuel is the one who carries us through all the years with love and mercy. What is the feeling you get when you hear that truth? Breathtaking, isn't it? Wonder, awe. My friend Jenny lives in Haiti, where there was no Christmas celebration. It certainly didn't feel like Christmas there. He explained that because of their political situation right now, no one has the money to do anything special. Christmas was just another day in Haiti. Jenny emphasized, though, that the real Christmas is about the brothership, that we are all one family. He said that if we cannot share this kind of feeling between us, then there is no Christmas. This fraternity is not just with our friends and family. This fraternity is God's family, the my people of Isaiah. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when he says, "You are my people," he means all people, everywhere. The feeling of Christmas is the birth of this spirit within us. And it's why the words of Howard Thurman are so necessary. The work of Christmas begins now that Christ lives again in us. The work includes finding the lost, healing the broken, feeding the hungry, releasing the prisoner, rebuilding the nations, bringing peace among others, and making music in the heart. This work requires kindness and compassion. This work demands that we too become a loving and merciful presence. This work asks that we lift up and carry one another. So we must capture the love, joy, hope, and peace we experience at Christmas, the feeling of Christmas, be filled and strengthened and share it. Christ is the source of life and love such that Christmas lives eternally. But with Christmas comes responsibility. All week, I have been inspired by our young servant, Caden. I celebrate that he is in India right now with the mission team at the Good Shepherd Mission. I know for certain that Caden is overflowing with joy and love and is sharing his hope and his peace. So ever since I arrived here, this is all Caden has talked about. And I know that going to India is all he has talked about for years. Last Sunday, Caden said to me, "I don't know what I'm going to be most excited about. Christmas Eve or the Christmas night after before I leave for India?" He explained that he still feels like a small child with so much excitement on Christmas Eve that he can't sleep. He was certain he wouldn't be able to sleep Christmas night as well, with that same or even more anticipation before he leaves for India. That's Christmas. What if every night we tossed about with expectation for the next day? What if every day became a day of service, of encountering new people and wondering how you'll be transformed? Caden couldn't imagine what it was that he was going to experience when he got to India. That's why he couldn't sleep. He couldn't imagine what he was going to be able to do and see and be a part of. This is the hope. This is the joy. This is the power of love that draws the kingdom near. Caden recognized the feeling of Christmas that is alive in his spirit, not just on Christmas Eve and Christmas morn, but even the next day. Caden and Sean and all of the mission team in India are doing the work of Christmas. They're feeding the hungry. They're helping the blind see. They're having parties with orphans and children who need an education. They are being the presence of God according to their compassion and kindness. They are lifting up their brothers and sisters in India. They are carrying them. They are walking in solidarity with the people of India and the Good Shepherd Mission. What is the feeling you get when you hear that truth? Breathtaking, isn't it? Wonder. Awe. Christmas is my favorite time of year. And it's all year long. As we find a place for the gifts and store away the decorations and return to the another day, another dollar, humdrum normalcy of life, I pray that the echo of these voices of Isaiah, Jenny, Howard Thurman, and Caden continue to resound in your hearts, to beckon Christmas to live on, so that we birth the Christ in our work and in our being and personhood. I'd like to conclude with this Jewish prayer. Pray with me. Grant us the ability to find joy and strength, not in the strident call to arms, but in stretching out our arms to grasp our fellow creatures and the striving for justice and truth. Amen. Join me now. We're going to sing Away in a Manger together, but you'll notice that the lyrics, it's the same tune, but the lyrics are printed in the bulletin or on